will be but the sum of the results of the positive choices that we have made and have carried out. The foregoing are some of the thoughts that we shall attempt to share with you today, which we hope will be a help to each of us to more appreciate the privilege and the power that comes from choices. The fact that you are even here today is a result of a choice that you made. At the beginning of our walk with the Lord, we made a choice that is encompassed in the words found in Deuteronomy 26 and verse 17. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. We are also reminded of the beautiful and determined words of Joshua that we find in his book, chapter 24 and verse 15. Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choosing or making decisions is a very important facet in our character building. Quoting from the reprints, page 2950, in respects to this text that we have just mentioned, it says, we should settle the matter once and for all, and for all time, that we will be the Lord's. The very fact of coming to a positive decision is a great blessing, a great help in the formation of character. Every time we come to a decision, it strengthens our mind and character and makes us that much more ready for another test. One decision for the right prepares the way for others in that direction, just as hesitancy and indecision upon one point prepares us for hesitancy upon other points. We need to have some touchstones, as it were, some matter which will help us to decide, which will enable the mind to reach a decision quickly. This touchstone should be God's will, so that to perceive the Lord's will in respect to any question would be to settle it as quickly as it is discerned. There should be no further questions about the rejection of any matter which we discern to be contrary to the Lord's will, no matter how enticing, no matter how much of profit or of advantage there may be connected therewith. Ability to quickly decide, and to decide always on the right side what the Lord's will is, requires some experience and discipline. The more energetically we set ourselves to know the will and to do it, and to show him by our promptness that we delight to do his will, the better and quicker will we find our characters established along proper lines. In Joshua, the 24th chapter and verse 22, he reminds the people, you are your own witnesses to the fact that you have chosen to serve the Lord. So it is then at the very beginning that we and all of those who would serve the Lord choose to do so because it is our will. There is no coercion. The choice could just as well have been to choose not to serve him, or to choose to make a choice not to serve him at that time. In making our choice to serve him, we made a personal commitment, a promise, a vow. We spoke in essence the words of Psalms 119 and verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me, as well as those words that are also found in Psalms 140 and verse 6. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God, hear the voice of my supplications. So it was upon these positive notes that we set out to serve the Lord in whatever way we could. Choice from this point onward will have a very decisive influence in our fight of faith and its final outcome. The Apostle Paul tells us of the choice that Moses made in Hebrews 11:25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses, as the saying goes, really had it made. He didn't have a need or a worry in the world as a member of the royal household of the king of Egypt. Yet he freely chose to align himself with God's chosen people and to pay very dearly of earth's treasures because of that choice. He chose good over evil, even though he knew it would mean leaving behind absolutely everything of the world. This included his reputation as well as his earthly possessions. We read of Stephen's appraisal of Moses in Acts 7 and verse 22. And Moses was learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. Sometimes it seems to us that it is easier to give up things than it is to give up our reputation for what others might think of us or might say about us. This initial choice that Moses made set the course upon which he would eventually become the great leader of God's chosen people. We too set a course with our initial choice to serve the Lord. Let us often, as we pursue that course, take our sightings by such a noble example as we see in Moses, as well as by the direction of God's Word, to see that we are still on the initial course that we chose to follow. God gave all mankind the ability to freely choose because in his wisdom he knew that in the long run that it would be best for man. Though this was so and still is, he did not leave man without any guidance or direction. Within man, God created a marvelous thing that we term conscience. Conscience is defined as knowledge or a feeling of right and wrong with the compulsion to do right. To regulate this conscience, God gave man rules and he gave them commandments that if they are followed would be best for him. Yet it is up to each to become aware of these things and to choose these for his own. Isaiah 66:3 says, again speaking of the course that many choose, yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighted in their abominations. Israel of old holds out to us many lessons of what not to do by way of choice. Judges 5:8 says that they chose new gods. When this led them into serious trouble, then they would come back crying to the Lord for his help. One instance of this is recorded in Judges 10, verses 12 through 16. It reads, "Ye have forsaken me and have served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, "We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee, Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. May we, brethren, learn from such accounts as this, that when we choose to follow our own way, the results eventually will be unpleasant. This was so of Abram when he chose to detour down into Egypt in order to avoid the famine that was before him in the land through which he was to pass. He got himself in such a mess down there that the king even expelled him from his country. Choosing what may seem best for the flesh may oftentimes be a very serious mistake. On the other hand, choosing what seems best for the new creature, even though the going at first may seem rough, will in due time become easier and even agreeable. Choice must be accompanied with something called determination. Choice alone will never bring the victory. But when choice and determination walk through life hand in hand, then victory, we might say, is just around the bend. Determination will enlist the help of perseverance. And then these two are indeed most difficult to put down. This one thing I do was the way the Apostle Paul put it in his perseverance and in his determination. The Good News Version renders this account in Philippians 3:12-14 as follows. I do not claim that I have already succeeded or have already become perfect. I keep striving to win the prize for which Jesus Christ has already won me to himself. Of course, my brothers, I really do not think that I have already won it. The one thing I do, however, is to forget what is behind me and do my best to reach for what is ahead. So I run straight towards the goal in order to win the prize, which is God's call through Christ Jesus to the life above. Yes, let us well ponder our choices, but after we have made one, let us exercise determination and perseverance to their full capacity in attaining the fruition of that choice. There are many areas in our walk where we will be uncertain as to what should be our choice. This often occurs in areas of things that have to do with our earthly affairs. For instance, should we sell our home and find another place that is more peaceful and a better environment for the children to grow up in? Should we buy a new car that would make us feel more confident to travel long distances to conventions? Should I look for another job that would be less demanding on me and would afford me more time to be of service to the brethren and to the Lord? In all of these areas, we want to do and choose what would be pleasing to the Lord and what would be best for us as his sons. When unsure, some sound advice is this: God always gives his best to those who leave the choice to him. There will be many times that we will have to choose to leave all in the Lord's care and to look to him for some indication as to what he would have us to do. So it is then that sometimes not to do anything must be a conscious choice on our part that will require us then to wait upon him. When we do this, it is not indecisiveness, but on the contrary, It is wise decision making. It is letting go, and it is letting God. You are what you think you are, and you will become what you choose to be. Choices and not chance determines our destiny. Let us consider these statements and see how much truth that we might find in them. It is a fact that we live out what we expect of ourselves. For instance, why is it that two people who are born in the city slum, both are of welfare families, both go to the same grade school, same high school, both are children of poverty parents who have been on welfare themselves and their parents before them, yet one becomes a successful doctor and the other continues to live as did his parents and his grandparents before him? The reason we think usually is that the successful one has come to some point in his life where he was faced with a choice and a decision. Did he want to better his condition, or did he accept his present condition as his lot for life? He chose the former, and by making this choice, he set a goal before him and was determined to work to attain it, whatever the cost might be to him. If we set low goals, we shall have low achievements. If we set medium goals, we shall be medium achievers. But if we set high goals for ourselves, then we shall be high achievers because we have endeavored to reach higher. In John 3, 2 and 3, we read, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." The Apostle John had set this hope for himself because he had made the choice that he would keep himself pure from all the contamination to the best of his ability, so that he may be found worthy of one day being with the Lord in the spirit realm, as he has just described to us. This is the highest goal or the highest choice to which any human could ever aspire. That is why it is called the high calling, a heavenly calling. If we wish to attain to this goal, we too must choose to give this effort our all, keeping our sight always lifted high to the example of the Lord Jesus himself. If we will be contented with less than this, we will most likely put in less effort and no doubt achieve a lower goal. The Apostle Paul gives us the right approach of mind in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye might obtain." The NIV version tells it to us perhaps a little more clearly, and it says this: "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run then in such a way as to get the prize." We must have a positive attitude in the running of our race. We must believe that we can win And we must persevere no matter how hard the going may seem at times until we do indeed cross the finish line. We must strive for the first place. This should always be our choice. And let us back it with a full determination that with the Lord's help, we can succeed. No endeavor can ever be obtained unless first a choice is made to do it. Fear often sets itself up as a barrier that keeps us from making a choice which we know we should be making. To put it another way, the door of opportunity can be said to have two handles, the handle of fear and the handle of faith. If we fear opportunity because there is yet too much that is unknown there in its makeup, we are taking then hold of the handle of fear, and we will find that it will not open the door. If, on the other hand, we choose to take advantage of opportunity, we will be willing to face the unknown in many areas. And in so choosing, we will grab hold then of the handle of faith, which easily opens the door to many opportunities and to growth. Abram was quick to take hold of the handle of faith in this type of situation, for when the Lord asked him to pack it all up and to leave the land and all his things behind, he immediately made that choice to do so. The Apostle Paul likewise chose the handle of faith when in the vision he was directed to go to Macedonia, a place where the word had not yet been preached. In Acts 11:10, we read of that account. It says, "And after he saw the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assured that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them." If he hadn't made the decision to do so, we would not have had the inspiring epistles to the Philippians or the Thessalonians, nor would we have heard of the noble Bereans who searched out the things that they heard in order to prove whether these things were so. If Paul hadn't made that choice, he would never have been able to tell us of faithful Lydia, or of the conversion of the jailer and his whole family, nor would we have heard the words of the rulers of the city that were Paul's enemies, who said of him that they have turned the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, brethren, may our choices always be prompted by faith and with trust in the Lord. Sometimes we fear to make a choice because we merely have a negative attitude. Our outlook may be, yesterday was awful, today is terrible, tomorrow I think will probably be even worse. If this is really what someone expects, no wonder one is overtaken with a paralysis of mind and endeavor that is unable to choose to face life in a realistic way. When Jesus chose to go to Jerusalem, knowing that his hour had come, he certainly knew that many things awaited him there that could have been the basis indeed for negative thinking. He was able to remain positive in his trying confrontations with pain and with suffering because he had chosen to carry out his Father's will, no matter what the personal cost might be to him. The motivating force behind Jesus' positive attitude was simply love. He had chosen to show his love for his Father and for all mankind by being willing to sacrifice himself, that he might redeem us from sin and from his condemnation. He chose to love his enemies, even though they despised him and treated him with terrible cruelty. We are told that God is love. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, ye have seen the Father." Jesus, who was perfect, holy, harmless, and undefiled, was therefore the love of God manifested through him, so that we might see it and better understand it. We who are fallen because of Adam's transgression must acquire love. Deep within us is the capability to love, but we must fill up this potential by heeding the words such as we find in Colossians 3, 12 through 14. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness." There are seven important premises that relate to love. One, one cannot give what he does not possess. To give love, you must therefore possess love. Two, one cannot teach what he does not understand. To teach love, we must then have to comprehend love. Three, one cannot know what he does not study. To study love, you must experience it and you must live it. Four, one cannot appreciate what he does not recognize. To recognize love, we must be receptive then to love. Five, one cannot have doubt about that which he wishes, to trust. To trust love, you must be convinced of the power of love. Six, one cannot admit what he does not yield himself to. To yield to love, you must then make yourselves vulnerable unto love. And lastly, seven, one cannot live what he does not indicate, what he does not dedicate himself, rather, to. To dedicate yourself to love, you must be forever then growing in love. And to that end, a decision has to be made. To want to love is then a choice that each of us can make. It will require much cultivation, and it will require much work. But it is attainable with the Lord's assistance. Love is a choice that we can constantly make time and time again. On the other hand, instead of choosing love in a certain or a given situation, we can choose to resent or even to hate. It is obvious that to love will have a more peaceful effect on the individual, while resentment and hate will cause an acid effect that will eat away within the being of the one who chooses to react in that fashion. Love will let the matter rest, while resentment and hate will continue to boil and to stew over the matter, seeking some form of retribution if it is possible. When Paul and Silas were in prison, singing hymns at midnight with their backs bleeding, it was because they had chosen not to hate their oppressors, but rather to consider it a privilege to have suffered for Christ's sake. When Jesus was on the cross, he could have had bad feelings and had been filled with hate towards his malefactors, but such was far from his thoughts. What was on his mind was the welfare of his mother, and he assigned her care to the Apostle John. We find this recorded in John 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. To choose love will take the individual outside of himself, as was the case here with Jesus. His concern and his love for his mother cast aside the suffering that he was enduring at that moment. So while still undergoing excruciating pain, his concern was not for himself or for his plight, but for the one whom he loved. The Apostle Paul, in that beautiful chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, tells us that love goes beyond mere knowledge and understanding, that love is a special phenomenon that surpasses all things that can be attained in this life. Love will maintain a positive response to any negative action that might challenge it. When its endurance is tested, love continues to exercise loving patience. When treated severely, love will exercise loving kindness. When others are prospering, love will rejoice with them. When experiencing success, love will continue to remain in the background. Love will always choose to be polite and to be considerate, even when confronted with rudeness. Even when opportunity for self-gain presents itself, love will never take advantage of others. When confronted with explosive situations, love will diffuse the potential wrath with a soft answer. Love does not let wrongs accumulate, but will quickly forgive each and all. Love can never condone evil, even if it were to be for self-gain. Love always rejoices in truth, even if we should personally stand to lose because of it. Love will cover, protect, gloss over, ignore, and endeavor to hide the faults of others. Never, ever expose them. Love will continue to believe in others, even when everybody else has quit doing so. Love would rather err in believing well of someone than err in believing evil of them. Love will continue to hope for the best when everybody has given up hoping. Love can never fail, because it is the nearest thing to our emulating God's character. Therefore, it is the greatest accomplishment that anyone can attain while on this earth, and it will go on into eternity with us. Let us choose, then, to love in every aspect of our trials and experiences, and then we shall be living godly in Christ Jesus to the praise and to the glory of our Heavenly Father. 1 Timothy 6:6 tells us, Godliness with contentment is great gain. Of all the things, then, that can be ours, contentment is one of those. It is always before us. It is there to be chosen. Contentment, it is said, comes from not great acquisitions, but it comes rather from having few wants. Yes, he who lives content with little is said then to possess much. The Apostle Paul found contentment in whatsoever state he found himself in, because he rested in the providences of God, who he knew and he was confident in, was overruling all things for his best. This was a conscious choice that the apostle made, rather than selecting to be discontented with those trials that came upon him. One who wants much will always find himself in much need. Jesus had not a place even to lay his head. His sole possession was his seamless robe, which at the end of his life was even taken from him by the soldiers who crucified him on the cross. Yet we have never found that Jesus had the slightest inclination to be discontent with any such things, but rather he was always totally oblivious to the things of this earth. He was always too busy with the things of his Father, doing good, healing the sick, comforting others, and therefore had no time of thinking for wants. His needs were provided by his Heavenly Father through various agencies, some the believers that loved him for what he was. So, brethren, let us choose likewise to be content with such things as we have. Let us also likewise be doing good where we can at every opportunity. If we are to be concerned with wants, let us want for more opportunity of service to the Lord and to the brethren. In partial summary, we see then that choice is a God-given privilege that each of us possesses. We have the total freedom to choose as we wish. We are to realize that our choices are leading us through this life day by day. By our choices, we choose whether we will serve God, mammon, or self. Our choices play a crucial role in the progress of our character development. Promptness in decision making or choosing the things pertaining to righteousness help us to resist temptations and strengthens our character for the future. Choosing to wait on the Lord and letting him show us the way is not being indecisive, but is being wise. Contentment is simply a matter of choosing to be so. We must sometimes choose to step out into the unknown, trusting God, if we are to follow the Lord's leadings. Our choice towards the positive will greatly increase our potential towards more productive service. The touchstone of all our choices, though, should always be to do God's will. To overcome hate and anger and resentment with love is a choice that each of us is capable of making. In fact, choices are so important that they will either be the means by which we get into the kingdom or the very thing that will keep us out. For instance, if we choose not to forgive someone who has wronged us, this of itself will keep us out of the kingdom, because we are told in Matthew 6:15, if we forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. So, brethren, let us look into our hearts and to see if there is any leaven or bad feelings there towards anybody, and if so, let us quickly purge it out from our being. If we are to succeed to the goal that we have chosen, we must believe that we will be able to do it, and we should never set our sight on anything less. Yes, brethren, let us not halt between two opinions. Let our every choice be to want always to do only His will, and to be able to say, as Jesus did at the end of His walk, I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou hast given me to do. May the Lord bless you in your walk and in your choices.
Thank you, Brother Al, for those timely thoughts on making our choices. Brother Al has chosen hymn number 198 as his closing selection. Hymn number 198. After which we will have a short intermission, and please come together when you hear the piano start to play.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before Thee and come to Thy throne of grace once again this morning to thank Thee, Father, for the privilege that we have to gather together as a little group of Thy children. And we realize indeed, Father, the great need of direction by way of Thy Holy Spirit and Thy Word, that we indeed may make the choices that will bring us more and more into the likeness of Thy dear Son. We do thank Thee, dear Father, that Thou hast called us, Thou hast blessed us with this hope. And we realize, dear Father, our total dependence upon Thee for this direction. And so we pray, Father, Thy continued guidance and Thy watch care. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.